This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Anthony Robbins. He is a vice president of federal for a company called Brocade, B-R-O-C-A-D-E. And we're going to talk about the cloud, but from a different perspective. Talk about the cloud from, you know, how can you make the transition to cloud in a reasonable fashion? And what about the other end of it? What about the data center? And what's the best practices for the data center for allowing cloud deployments, for allowing your systems to be able to scale and be able to move and be flexible and be agile? And that's one of the topics we're going to talk about. Instead of agile software development, maybe agility with hardware. But first of all, Anthony, there's some people who are listening to your name and say, that's an intriguing name, but you're not the world-famous Anthony Robbins. You're the regular, good old boy Anthony Robbins. Yeah. Tell us about your background, how you wound up with Brocade, please.
Yeah, I am the regular, good old boy Anthony Robbins. I have met Tony on several occasions.
Burn foot Tony? You really have, huh?
I have. We had him years ago. I had him at one of our sales conferences, and 20 leaders and I spent a day with him, you know, a long time ago. Yeah. But, so I have.
Well, he's a big guy too, like you, huh?
He is.
So what's your background?
So I joined Brocade almost a year ago, and I joined Brocade following a couple of years at Oracle, you know, as they had acquired Sun Microsystems. But in total, I spent about 25 years in the IT marketplace serving the federal government customers. I was also raised by a single mom who spent her career as a civil servant, retired from the U.S. Missile Command in Huntsville, Alabama, at Redstone Arsenal. So I feel like I spent my entire career serving this marketplace. So I have a lot of pride in
it. No Alabama in your voice there, buddy.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, and then we moved in what felt like an early version of BRAC down to Huntsville, Alabama. And then I've been in Maryland since about 1984.
A blended little background there. So I think it's reasonable, if your background, these large organizations, you've seen a lot of large systems, and you've seen the folks go back and forth. And here you've been with Brocade not too long. How long have you been with Brocade?
I've been with Brocade for about a year, and I joined Brocade for a couple of reasons. You know, first, I found a really neat and interesting company, a little bit over $2 billion, a company that was recently voted by Fortune magazine as a top 100 company to work for in 2010. But then I also found some interesting things that, you know, Brocade owns the SAN marketplace, greater than 70% share globally, and we've got a really interesting set of networking products, but we didn't have a huge presence in the federal marketplace. And what I found in my research was the network innovation that was happening and the network refresh and modernization that needs to happen across the federal government was not happening at the rate that was consistent with other things such as virtualization, adoption of the cloud, and the like. So it looked like a great opportunity for Brocade to serve this marketplace.
You know, it's probably the biggest company that no one's ever heard of.
That's correct.
I mean, they are very active in data centers, and I'm sure the people who design data centers know Brocade backwards and forwards and the whole product line. But I think Joe Sixpack out there, the regular folks, may have used their services but not have known that. Maybe they've used an Interstate battery but not known the Interstate battery was in their car. Yeah. They might have used Brocade for years and not known it.
That's exactly right. We're in most of the large data centers and most of the market segments around the world, but usually we're labeled with somebody else's label because our go-to-market strategy on the SAN side of the business has been largely through the EMCs, Hitachis, IBMs, HPs of the world. So large OEMs buy our product, put their label on it, and then distribute our product to the marketplace. So to your point, we have a very good set of products, you know, real market share in several different areas, but not as well known as our technology is deployed.
And Brocade, of course, I mean, if you do a little research on the company, you find out that founded in 1995, kind of clawed and scraped their way in and kind of had A lot of blood on the floor, a lot of fighting and really, really tough battles in the early years. And all of a sudden, turn around, 75% of the sand market. I mean that was that's a very competitive environment to eke out a living in. I'd rather be a middle linebacker in the NFL than try to that. That's a tough market, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, and so technology is really important to that space. There's been a lot of innovation that has happened in the storage space. And, of course, we are a leader in that sand marketplace. About 4 years ago, we also acquired a network company called Foundry. And today we're doing something very similar to what we did years ago in the SAM marketplace, and we're bringing new and innovative technology to the networking business. And the timing is really interesting because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the government's network was in large part conceived 20 and 30 years ago. And even today, a lot of the products in the government's network are old and in some cases either no longer certified or end of sale or end of service life. And at the same time that you have this network that was put in place a long time ago, you have older products in the network. There's never been more requirements for the network capability and capacity as what cloud and virtualization are doing either in the data center or across the enterprise.
Before the show, we were joking, and I said facetiously, "It's like I've got a rotary phone at home, and my wife walks in the kitchen with a smartphone. I mean, the smartphone's great; that's virtualization. But what do you do with the old rotary phone there? What you have to do is you have to upgrade some of the older technology, some of the data centers that have been sitting around, and it's possible that maybe these data centers were designed 8-10 years ago, before there were advances in switches, before there were advances in fiber technology as well.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that that's the case. And then one of the challenges, so as our customers move to cloud, there's four big challenges, I think, that they've got to deal with, and one of which we wanted to talk about. And so you've got to have really, you know, good leadership. You've got to deal with the security concerns. You have to have, you know, acquisition models in place. And, you know, of course, GSA and others are working on that. And importantly, you've got to address the money piece of this thing. And so the question is, you know, in challenging or declining budgets, how does our customer, the federal government, modernize their infrastructure and invest in like net new technologies, for example, the network? And that's why as we conducted this Color of Money study, you know, we found a lot of interesting opportunities as it relates to funding and options that our customers have that in some cases they're not even aware of.
Which is really the focus of this interview today is, as we all know, we're getting moved to the cloud. I mean, the White House guys twisting everyone's arm to move to the cloud. We know that. And how can you do this economically? And what you folks have done is you funded a study by Meritalk, and it's called The Color of Money, available online. I'm sure you can Google it and find it out. And it talks to financial people, and it talks to the IT people, and kind of an interesting perspective there. It's four blind men looking at an elephant, describing it, and the finance guys say one thing, the IT guys say another. And let's take a little break here. When we come back, we'll talk about this study you can get from Meritalk. It's called The Color of Money. And what's the most effective way to move to the cloud, given a financial environment where there's less money than there was in the past? Take a quick break and talk more about that. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal at Brocade. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal at a company called Brocade. It's the biggest company no one ever heard of, $2 billion company, selling a lot of products in data centers involving switches and storage and fiber optics and all kinds of stuff. Earlier in the show, we talked about the move to the cloud and how your company can help with the data center. Okay, we know that. I think a lot of problems are involved with human beings and moving to the cloud and resistance and change. And what Brocade did is they underwrote a study by a group called Meritalk. And I want to talk about the study. It's called The Color of Money. If you're playing along at home, you can probably type in Color of Money in your search engine and wind up here, or Meritalk, M-E-R-I-T-A-L-K. You can probably type that in and get this study, about 20-page study. Interesting survey they did. They looked at the federal IT professionals and then the federal financial professionals. Tell me more, Anthony.
Yeah, so we've been looking at the kinds of monies that are available to our customers relative to spending on IT and modernizing infrastructure. And, you know, we did it in context to the fact that, you know, budgets are constrained or challenged and many people think they have less money. While at the same time, much the modernization of the government's IT infrastructure is being set in the direction of the cloud. And the cloud is a service, not an asset that you acquire. And so we asked, you know, we went to 102 IT managers and 102 finance managers across the federal government, a split between defense and intelligence and the civilian agencies. And we found, you know, a lot of really interesting facts. So, you know, most IT managers believe that their capital expense budgets are flat or shrinking. And most believe that acquiring of services like cloud capabilities to an OPEX model would better serve their organization. And most believe that they have more money in those areas anyway. And what we found is most of them don't know how to do that. Like, so there wasn't good alignment between the IT managers and what they thought that they could do and the finance managers and the programs available. And of course the acquisition models. So it's a really interesting topic that offers, we believe, our government customers a lot of opportunity as it relates to investing and managing the IT infrastructure of the future.
You know, when I was in college, I was on a swim team, and the Olympics is coming up, and I always compare myself to what the Olympic swimmers are, and I'm stunned. I need a mercury motor to catch up with those guys. But I always compare myself with current swimmers just to, you know, see where I'm at. But I think federal IT professionals, if you're working for an agency, you may want to see what they're doing across the river. What are they doing at HHS? What are my colleagues in other areas going? And I think one of the silos with my listeners is sometimes that you may know everything about DOI, Department of Interior, but nothing about HHS, or converse. The same may be true. I think what this study does is kind of opens it up to other colleagues that are working for other agencies. And what are these other folks up to? What do they think?
That's correct. Yeah, and so for us, you know, there's a lot of federal IT managers who have figured out how to get money moved from a capital expense budget into an operating expense budget. And then when they do that, they actually have found that they have more money to spend to invest in cloud-like services. And we believe that the enablement of or in development of the cloud will happen faster via the OPEX route versus the capital expenditure route. So what we're finding is that the folks that are moving more rapidly to the cloud are usually getting access to operating expense budgets in a way that's different than some of their peer groups.
I think what's interesting in the study is that the financial folks see the value. I think 75% see the value. I think it allows them to take a better snapshot of where expenses are and where they're heading. Sometimes they may commit for longer periods of time with a capital expense, and this allows them to control it better than just already being committed 3 years ago to something over 5 years.
That's correct. There's all kinds of challenges that came forth relative to capital expenditures, because it's capital expenditures are organized around acquiring an asset, getting return over time, and depreciating over time. Spending money in the cloud is all about buying capacity as a service. So they're buying a service, not an asset. And so there's different metrics on how you want to measure return, how you want to spend money and do your budgeting and the like. And of course, federal IT managers have a different view of some of that than the financial the leaders in the government as well.
We talked about the old way to do networks and the new way. Now, years ago, a commercial company would purchase something and they may get an investment tax credit. They can depreciate it and there's a five-year period and he's happy. And I think a lot of the federal government is operating under the older rules of, well, it's capital expense and you get it in and after 5 years you refresh and replace. But I think the rules have changed drastically. It's almost like the rotary phone to the smartphone. I mean, the rules for purchasing have gone upside down here. I mean, all of a sudden, you can avail yourself of services like the GSA has done with electronic mail and saved, you know, what Steve Van Roykel is talking about, $100 million in savings so far and going to the cloud. So you're almost obligated to take a look at the study to see how to do it.
That's exactly what's happening, right? So the old model of building a building, creating a large data center, putting a bunch of servers and storage devices in, and filling up this 10,000 square foot facility with a bunch of assets was how the money was oriented and the acquisition model was set up. Today, you could have these, whether if it's a private cloud or public cloud or hybrid cloud, depending on what it looks like, it could be anywhere. It could be in much smaller data centers distributed around the country, and the capacity can change if you're doing weather modeling, if you're supporting the warfighter, trying to provide better citizen services at the time the taxes are due, right? The capability and capacity of the enterprise can go up or down with usage. And so how do you provide applications that are available and data that's available to anyone when the model has all been set up to acquire assets. Now you're trying to provide a service, and the Color of Money study pokes at that. This says, how do we look at acquisition reform? How do we look at budgeting in a way that aligns the budgeting and the Color of Money usage to the IT modernization and development that has to happen to support the warfighter or citizen services?
If you look at this study, the Color of Money, you could get a couple of interesting graphs there, and you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. But if you look at funding levels for the next 10 years, they're not going up. I would like to say that they're not. I mean, the operative word here is down, down, down. It looks like it may be flat for the next 10 years. And so all of a sudden, we're in a situation where, you know, for the last 20 years, we've always acquired assets this way. Well, that's not going to work anymore. Something has to change.
That's right. And I mentioned earlier in your show that there's a lot of modernization that has to happen across the IT enterprise. So in our case, we're paying particular attention to modernization of the network that's not as equipped to support the delivery of cloud-like services today, because the government's network was developed decades ago. And so, and our government customer, more than commercial customers, are challenged to invest and modernize infrastructure during times of shrinking or decreasing funding. And so it's really important that IT managers tomorrow know a lot about funding and acquisition vehicles that are available to them, because they're going to have to be smart about how to utilize all available resources. And those are for the functional groups that support them, the monies that are available, the acquisition models that are being set up, such that they can invest in modernizing their infrastructure to improve services during times of declining budgets.
I had the fellow who manages all the servers for the house in here, and he said, spent 20 years learning TCP/IP and network and software, and now he walks around with a thermometer worried about how hot the building is and what's going on with the air conditioning units.
Yeah.
So he had to take this IT, put it aside, and learn about heating and cooling.
Right.
He said, I didn't study that in school. But now what we're telling our IT folks is, look, Anthony, you've studied IT for 20 years, and that's great. You know everything about, you know, virtualization, and you can go point to point with anyone. Now you got to learn about finance. Now you got to go, okay, put that aside. Now you got to learn about what's an efficient way to use our IT assets.
All right, that's right. And it's about business. It's about governance. It's about data and security. It's about service level agreements and the like. It's a lot less about assets that got acquired. And you're right. You know, people thought a lot about the data center, the cooling that went into
right.
the data center, how many square feet it was. And everybody wanted to show you, here's my big data center. Now what people have to move to is they got to say, well, here's the capacity that I can provide to citizens. And here's how I can improve their experience and make sure that they have availability to data and application anytime they want it, from wherever they are, whatever device that they're on, and whenever they want to do their work.
You know, in agile software development, they talk about reducing time to deploy and being able to be flexible with changes. Well, that's directly applicable to the data center right now. If you have to design a data center that can scale up and scale down, you have to be able to manage your physical access to allow that.
That's correct. You know, and interestingly, we all know that the government's underway with a large data center consolidation project, where they're going to take cut down as many as 800 or more data centers. And frankly, that doesn't match commercial best practices. So at the same time that the government has done their inventory and they found over 2,000 data centers, they want to reduce it by 800 or so. The users on their network want data center capability and capacity like never before. So they want access to more applications and more data like there were distributed data centers. And that's what we have to give them.
Let's take a break and talk more about the Color of Money and more topics that our IT listeners have to know about than they ever dreamed they'd have to learn. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal at Brocade.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal at Brocade. In the break, we were talking about how people get information. Some people like to read books, magazines. Some people go to websites, listen to podcasts, and some people read blogs. I have a blog at my company called Armature. You can type in John Gilroy Armature and find that. Though some people type in John Gilroy Ugly or Gilroy Goofball and get that as well. Anthony, what are the blogs that you read? Does Brocade have any blogs? Or can you suggest something for our listeners if they're listening to this in November and trying to get more information?
We do. Since joining Brocade, you know, I've got a blog that I'm fairly frequent with, and I make use of both, you know, a video version of that and the like. Brocade.com has got a series of blogs where we support either, you know, folks from the industry and internal experts, you know, from Brocade that talk to cloud computing and other, you know, topics of interest both to our federal marketplace and in the commercial space as well.
You know, just this morning I went to Brocade.com and I watched a 2-minute video on the front page talking about technology, and the guy was sitting in a data center and he had a camera on him and he didn't have a tie on, and he said, okay. And he talked just like face to face. And I like little snippets of information with someone looking at me eyeball to eyeball for 2 minutes saying, okay, this is what our products are, this is what we can do. I thought it was an interesting way to get more information. Many of my listeners may listen to this 2 or 3 months from now, or maybe Christmas time, there's snow on the ground, they've heard that name Brocade or the data center, and they want to listen to this, and they'll come back and go to blogs 6-8 months after the interview. I'm always fascinated by the email I get from people who listen 6-8 months after the interview airs and want more information about topics, like maybe this is the color of money. So if you're listening to this in November and thinking about Thanksgiving and the Redskins or something, you can still go to Google and type in the color of money and read this report. We were talking about the report before the break. Took a bunch of finance people and interviewed them. They took a bunch of IT folks and interviewed them. Seemed to be two different perspectives on this whole change to being fluid and flexible with IT.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you know, as we've noted, and I think we've said this, you know, really a big opportunity is the finance organization inside the federal government, I believe, has a chance to provide leadership as it relates to funding and available acquisition models to help the IT managers actually get to the cloud. And frankly, as the finance folks take more of a leadership role in helping the IT managers, you know, what will happen is the federal government will be able to provide more services at better prices than what they're doing today. And certainly that will allow them to manage better inside the challenging financial environment.
So the obstacles in moving to the cloud, the obstacles in making the transition to more flexible delivery of IT services may not be technical. It may not be involved with a single sign-on or security. Maybe one of the challenges here would be a financial or an approach to finance that's different. I think one word might be operationalizing IT funds. I mean, that's a fancy word, but what it's doing is it's saying, okay, you have limited funds here. What's the best way to budget these funds to make this transition?
Yeah, I think there's four you know, kind of big hurdles that most organizations have to face as they move to the cloud. And I mentioned those earlier. So, you know, a big one is leadership, right? Acquisitions, you know, acquisition models and acquisition contracts is you know, a second. This money, the availability of funds and the color of money, the kind of funds they can spend is a third. You know, and from a technology standpoint, I think the biggest one is around security. So when I think about the four big obstacles of advancing the cloud build out in the federal government and providing of services via the cloud, only one of the big obstacles is related to technology.
It's interesting. I mentioned the Washington Redskins, and if you read online about what's going on in the NFL, there are some players that aren't working. They're saying, I want to renegotiate my contract. I had a good year last year. I want a different contract. Well, you know, I think in some ways financially, some of the federal IT managers have to go back and forth with financial managers who may be limited to contracts and may have contractual obligations that will prevent them from making this move. And the IT guys have the best intents. They may not realize the other half of the coin, which is the finance part of it.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, and just like any big change effort, we found that there's a couple of things that our customers can do as it relates to this topic. You know, one is just get alignment cross-functionally, you know, in the organization or the agency that you're in with the different groups. So the IT managers have to be very aligned with the financial people, and they've got to be very aligned with the contracts folk. So we find kind of alignment of goals and priorities is a really big deal. The next thing is kind of is just working really well as a team. So these functions got to work really well as a team, because there's challenging times ahead relative to the budgets and changing priorities. You know, there's elections coming up. There's all kinds of changes that our customers are facing. And then the third thing that we find as a result of the study or recommendation or conclusion we have is then model success. So, you know, figure out how that folks working together can identify how to move some money from capital expense to operating expense, take on small pieces of IT change by doing this, and then share that across the organization and across other organizations as a way to model success. People have had success doing it this way, and then sharing best practices.
In this study, which is called The Color of Money, there's an interesting figure here which I highlighted. It says that 35% of federal IT managers have already obligated all of their OPEX budget to maintaining current systems. I think this is a topic we have to talk about is how much money is a typical person who's listening to this have to budget for just, you know, maintaining their existing equipment, and how much can they move to new areas? That's difficult too.
Yeah, and I think that's at the heart of one of these challenges, is that the government has to modernize their infrastructure to enable the build out of cloud-like capabilities. And then how do they modernize infrastructure when their budgets are shrinking? And when they're not acquiring assets anymore, like servers and storage, as they used to, but they're acquiring a service. That's at the heart of the challenge. On top of which, you know, capital expense budgets are declining, and operating expense budgets, as perceived by a large number of the folks that we surveyed, over 60%, are actually either flat or increasing.
There are organizations, I think the CEO Council is where a lot of the federal CEOs discuss different issues, and there's a lot of reports and information coming out of there. Do they talk about finance very much in that area? I've never been to those meetings. Have you followed that group at all, and how much they talk about technology, how much about finance?
Well, you know, I think there's been a lot of talk about acquisitions and contracts. Like so GSA has done a lot of work to create contract mechanisms that allow the government agencies to get to the cloud, and a lot of that was put together as a result of the previous CIO, you know, in the 25-point plan, and trying to create. So they were trying to define priorities and align acquisition methods to the priorities. So I think some good work has been done there. I don't think as much work and as much knowledge exists relative to the types of funding and the utilization of those funds for different aspects of this IT business. And in even when we did the survey, we found a large variance of what different levels of folks thought that they could use capital expenses versus operating expenses on, whether it was networking, software, multi-year services, and the like. So just a great area for education.
Meritalk, you can go to meritalk.com and find this report. It's called The Color of Money. It's about a 20-page report. A lot of work's been done to this, and it's presented in a graphical format, so it's not typewritten text with no spacing. And it has bar graphs, and it shows about my listeners. I mean, this is a reflection of my listeners. They can go read this and go, well, geez, operational budget completely dedicated to O&M of existing infrastructure. How do I compare with others? And maybe this will help my listeners try to make adjustments in the future for acquiring services.
That's correct. Yeah, and we interviewed and surveyed a couple of hundred people between both civilian DOD and then the intelligence community. And the results suggest that there's a lot of opportunities for education, and frankly, the results also suggest that there's opportunities to pay careful attention in this area to find opportunities to make further investment in modernizing infrastructure, which is required for our customers today.
Let's take a little break here, and we come back. We'll talk more about social ways, social media, finding out more information about Brocade, talk about ways to follow Anthony here and learn more about Meritalk and give us a little test to see if you're a card-carrying nerd or not, Anthony. We'll find out in a few minutes. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We come back, we'll be talking with Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal at Brocade. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Anthony Robbins. He's the Vice President of Federal at Brocade. Brocade is very active in the world of data centers, and they have very sophisticated products. Been around since 95. No one's ever heard of them. They turn around, they do $2 billion in sales. Kind of interesting company. We're talking not necessarily about Brocade and their products, talking about the end results of their products. So if you invest in Brocade, you have a cloud that's easy to use. You have a cloud that's agile, that's scalable, and can adapt to many of the requirements that the federal agencies are adopting now. We've been talking about how to make this transition through acquisition and just a little bit about the technology. Speaking of technology, some of my listeners like to listen in the car. Some listen to podcasts. Some follow blogs. Some follow Twitter, and they have very active Twitter accounts. If you want to follow me, I am at Ray Gilray, and if you want to follow Brocade, it's B as in boy, B-R, C as in Charlie, D as in dog, B-R-C-D.com, C-O-M-M. And Anthony, I think you have a Twitter handle too, is that right?
I do, John, at A-K Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, 2010.
2010, that's 2010. Good to know. So, hey, it's like a smorgasbord. Some people like, chicken. Some people like steak. Some people like Twitter. Some people like blogs. But everyone likes technology. And many of my listeners are thinking, now, is this really a card-carrying nerd or not? He's talking about finance. He's talking about switches. Maybe he knows. That's fine. So I have a scientific test here, Anthony. 10 questions to find out if you really have got a pocket protector in that shirt or not, if you really are a card-carrying nerd. So here's question number one. What was the year of your first computer?
I think it was about 1988, and it was a Macintosh Plus, about a 50-pound computer, it felt like at the time, with a 9-inch screen. And
A 9-inch screen, that was bragging then.
Yeah, big keyboard and the like.
What was your first cell phone?
My first cell phone, that was the Alex, if you remember that, they put those in your car, they fixed them to your dash, if you recall. And yes, I do remember the $1,000 a month cell phone bills in those days.
What year was that, though?
That would have been 1989.
That was pretty fancy to have a phone back then. Yeah. And we know you have a Twitter feed and you have a blog. What kind of online personal backup services do you use?
None.
Well, negative 5 points there. What kind of smartphone do you have?
Yeah, I have an Android device.
An Android, okay. Number of apps on your Android?
About 25.
25. And do you own a tablet device?
I do. I have a Samsung Galaxy.
A Galaxy.
So a Droid device as well.
Okay. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
I'm a big LinkedIn user. I mentioned earlier, I've used LinkedIn for, I consider myself an early adopter.
Good.
I have a Facebook account, but I'm not as active on Facebook as I am on LinkedIn.
I like me some LinkedIn. I don't do Facebook either. Last book read was electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Paper. I will take these results and pour them into my UNIVAC computer in my basement, and I'll have some green bar, an impact printer in the basement. Bam, 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 bam. If you remember those, making all that noise and print out a report, and I'll mail it to you in the U.S. mail. How's that for old school? It's always interesting to find out about people's preferences for personal technology. Switching back to the cost of money and the cost of an iPhone or the cost of an Android device, We kind of switched in the last block when we talked about, so there's IT managers, there's federal managers, finance managers, and kind of looking at this problem from two different ways. One way to find out how they think is to download this report called The Color of Money from Meritalk. I guess the objective here is Brocade's a great company, but what you're trying to assist our listeners is make this transition into an efficient way. And, everyone wants to go to the cloud. How can we make it efficient? One way would be look at the process itself.
Yeah, that's right. I think what we wanted to try to expose or understand here is that there's a lot of modernization of our federal government's infrastructure that has to occur to enable the build out and adoption of the cloud capabilities and the providing of services via the cloud. So modernization and investment in that infrastructure has to occur. That has to occur at a time when budgets are more challenged today than ever before. before, and in many cases, budgets are shrinking. The next thing is that they're acquiring services as it relates to cloud, not assets. And so the acquisition model, the funding streams, were all based on assets and the like. And so as the IT infrastructure needs to be modernized, and as the contracting mechanism needs to change, and as they're acquiring service versus assets, you know, we realize that there are some fundamentals into how the government operates that need to be looked at or better understood. And frankly, that's what we found in the survey. As I mentioned earlier, right, a lot of really good information in the survey, and a lot of opportunities to better align functional groups to include finance within the federal government, to align finance to the IT managers to better serve either the warfighter or citizens.
And I think that's the lesson of this report. The color of money is just that sentence there. That's the pullout. We're going to take and pull that and run that in WTOP tomorrow morning or something. Is they both have to work together to make this transition. It's not, the burden is not on the IT folks, and the burden is in the finance folks. Of course, they both have to worry about existing expenses and maintaining, but they have to worry about how they're going to negotiate the future. I watch TV and I see these commercials for Progressive Insurance, Mayfield Heights, Ohio. And I wonder, well, what about commercial companies? What does Progressive do? They've been growing like crazy for the last 25 years. Are they making this transition too? Are they having the same problems that are other gov? They have to. I mean, it has to be the same problem in the commercial world.
Yeah, there's no doubt the acquisition models and spending in the commercial space were oriented, you know, like capital expenditure models, return on investment, asset depreciation over time was similar. The difference for commercials is, you know, they can more rapidly change to these acquisition models and kind of how they spend money. So we have been working with many commercial companies around the globe and large systems integrators as we help build out cloud-like capabilities for our commercial customers, and we assist them on how to acquire that service. We've been working in a very similar manner as what we believe the federal government needs to do.
You know, I have friends who've worked at high levels for the federal government and switched out to the commercial world and gone back and forth. And I think, you know, people have done that as well. And I try to emphasize this is that, you know, my listeners who work for the federal government, you know, it's the same problem other organizations have faced. And maybe they not have, you know, the handcuffs that you have there, but it's similar type problems that they face. They may be able to change quicker, but it's similar type problems. And I think that's the goal here is what's going to happen in the future here? What's going to happen with the whole idea of IT acquisition and services? Is the government model, Anthony, is going to transition to all? Is it going to be 50% services based, or where do you see this happening in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, well, if you look at the budgets, you know, that get analyzed and presented by Marketplace. So I recently read the Deltek 2012 to 2017 report out, and you know the vast majority of the government budget is being spent in services and in the area of communications. The vast majority of it, you know, something like 70% of the government's budget. So, you know, that's one thing. The largest thing that's happening relative to the IT business, and we're in a mature marketplace for sure, is the development around cloud-like capabilities. So what I tell my customers is it's not a matter of should you consider the cloud or what applications should you put in the cloud. It's you must move to the cloud because that's where commercial industry is investing. And so if you don't move to the cloud, you know, then the cost of your current infrastructure is just going to get more expensive and be fraught with more risk. Okay, so they have to move to the cloud, and the services and service level agreement, the services modeling will be more important to acquisition of IT and the build out of data centers and the providing of enterprise services tomorrow more than ever before.
If commercial organizations and federal organizations are making this transition to service-based IT, it would seem that Brocade is not positioned in a terribly bad place, is it?
Yeah, we're not. You know, we've got financial models for customers that they can acquire our products today as a service. So we're in a position where whether it's the SAN and storage infrastructure or the network infrastructure, we're in an area that has to be modernized as customers move to cloud build out. So you know, as I said earlier, you know, I'm excited to work for Brocade. Brocade. I think we've got a really interesting set of products, and for sure, in the case of the federal government, we serve a very unique marketplace.
It's unique, but you know, similar to the commercial world too. I mean, everyone's taking these transitions to cloud-based services, and I talked about Progressive Insurance before, and I can see them making that transition as well. And talk about federal managers. I think they just have to keep their eyes open to this. I'm going to repeat it again. Color of Money is not only a movie. I think it's a movie with Tom Cruise from years ago, but it's also the name of a report. Came out on June 25th, 2012, underwritten by Brocade, and it interviews federal IT managers and federal financial managers and asks them questions about making this transition to the cloud. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal at Brocade. Thanks, Anthony.
John, thanks for having us on the show today.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.